May I speak in the name of the one loving, living, liberating God. Amen. I heard a man the other day talk about trees. He walks with a limp, a deformity brought on by polio early in his life. And trees, he said, are gnarled and crooked, just like me. Trees in the fall, bereft of their foliage, are still so beautiful. It reminds me, he said, that I am beautiful. I've been thinking about these trees, gnarled and crooked, this week. As something, so many things come to an end, and the leaves turn, and the cold creeps in. I love this season. I've always found a lot of life in this cold and fading time. Every ending, it seems, is a kind of new beginning. Now, for some, the season marks the end of summer, the beginning of a new school year. For others, especially those like me, whose livelihood is to be mindful of the liturgical calendar, the fall marks the end and also a new beginning. Ordinary time snapping right back into Advent, a baby in a manger, God with us, a light to the nations in these dark times. Every ending, it seems, is a kind of new beginning. But we're not there yet. No, not at least according to the lectionary. Today, we hear signs of the end, but little about new beginnings. Warnings and admonitions to keep watch, keep awake, for about that day and hour no one knows. We find ourselves at the end, the very end of the story, a moment in which Jesus reminds his disciples, right before his walk toward Calvary, a moment when he reminds them of the urgency of their mission, the importance of their call, the imminent coming of God's kingdom. This parable is one of a series, a set of stories where Jesus paints a picture, not just of the coming of God's kingdom, but of the disposition of those who would dare to follow the Lord of time into that kingdom. Those followers, like the wise bridesmaids, are to stand ready for the wedding feast, candles lit long into the night, eagerly awaiting, yearning for the moment when the feast will finally be at hand. 2,000 years later, and we are still waiting, it seems. That kind of eager disposition after all these years is hard to keep up. To keep our candles lit long into the night is no small task. We have, each in our own way, experienced a fair share of our own disappointment, living reminders that the feast is not yet come. To some, it may feel like we are actually on the brink of not a feast, but of dire disaster, war and rumors of war, helpless in the face of what we can only describe as evil in human nature as well as in the world. For others, despair has led to skepticism. The world seems immune, even indifferent to this call. Just what is the point of preparing for a feast, a kingdom that doesn't seem to be anywhere in sight? The story of the 10 bridesmaids assumes, however, that the bridegroom will be delayed. The call is not simply to keep awake, but to occupy ourselves in the interim, to make our lives a ready vessel for that which is to come. The question that the scripture poses for us today is not simply whether or not we are ready for the kingdom to break in at any moment, but whether we are eagerly preparing, eagerly awaiting, eagerly stepping into that kingdom reality in our day-to-day lives. So how are we preparing? Sowing the seeds for a world that is yet to be, creating space for the kingdom come, even when the signs of the times seem to be turning their backs on any kind of feast. Let me skip ahead a couple weeks, and I hope I don't steal the thunder from the preacher at the end of the liturgical year, but I want to talk to you about the last feast of the church year, right before the first Sunday of Advent, the Feast of Christ the King. It will come right after Thanksgiving this year, and it was instituted rather recently, in 1925, by Pope Pius XI of the Roman Catholic Church. It was a response to increasing fear and despair in the world after World War I, after the modernization and destruction of warfare, after the spread of global epidemics for the first time, it seemed, after the fall of so many dynasties at the beginning of that century. Pope Pius XI writes that this feast day points to a king of whose kingdom there will be no end. It points to a time when Christ's kingdom will come in its fullness, even in spite and in the face of what seems like the darkest night. Every ending is a kind of new beginning, my friends. Every ending demands us to look deep within and find the light of Christ burning forth even in that darkest night. So how are you preparing, sowing the seeds for a kingdom that is yet to be, creating space for the kingdom come? I hope that we will be ready, this gnarled and broken body called the church, to make way for the wedding feast. Amen.